going to be recording this call for people who can't make it. So just FYI, I'm going to be recording the call. I'll make it available to everybody afterwards. What I also want to encourage you to do is to really be engaged in this conversation. Not like a webinar that's being presented bullet points, but really to be engaged, like, how is this relevant to you? Like, how is this useful to you? And to be in the conversation. So as we talk, or if I'm working with or talking or being in conversation with a person, I really want you to stay engaged with that conversation and see how that might fit within yourself. So like Adam had alluded to, I've been coaching for close to 25 years now. And for many people, I'm considered a pioneer in the field of business and life coaching. And, you know, throughout the years, I've always been looking for what is the most useful and most helpful and most leveraged way of really bringing out the best in people and helping them close the gap between where they are and where they want to go. So I've been a student for a long time and have had the honor and the privilege of working with some really wonderful teachers. And being not only a student, but a teacher in my own right and sharing that with other people. And so I'm really pleased and really honored that I get to continue my journey with all of you here today. And I get to share what I've found over the last 25 years to be the most leveraged, the most effective, the simplest way to really help people. Now, to give you a little bit of background, what I'll be sharing with you is not something that I just came up with on a whim. It's actually having a really profound ripple effect throughout the world. So I'm part of a global community that is bringing this understanding and these teachings out into the world. And they're very, very simple, yet they're making a huge splash and a ripple in a wide range of domains or areas, from prevention, which is people working with preventing at-risk communities. So at-risk communities have been influenced by these teachings and these understandings. These teachings and understandings have gotten into the prison systems and are helping people see that beyond their circumstances of being incarcerated, that they're actually have access to freedom within themselves. That's making a huge difference in the prison systems. It's revolutionary in the area of psychology. So it's taking traditional psychology and really turning it upside down on its head and creating a whole new psychology born out of this understanding. It's in the area of psychiatry. There's now some research based on this understanding. It was just done at the Mayo Clinic in Arizona, working with physicians. One of the things with physicians, there's a super high burnout rate with physicians, stress and anxiety and burnout. And so this understanding was taken into the Mayo Clinic in Arizona and now has documented research on reducing and eliminating stress and burnout and physician attrition rate. There's also peers that are taking this understanding now into Fortune 100 companies. And in Fortune 100 companies, basically they're taking this understanding into the key players within the organizations, the decision makers, the thought leaders. And they're immersing the leadership teams and three to four day training. And the first two or three days, all they do is they teach people what I'm going to be introducing you to is this understanding of how people's minds work and this understanding of how where people's experience comes from in life. And what's really fascinating is my peers are taking this into Fortune 100 companies. Out of 4 days of working with them, they spend 2.5 days just teaching them how their mind works. That's it. Very, very simple. And it's only on the third day or the fourth day that they deal with the organization's largest problems within a company. And what happens is the teams are now equipped to solve their own problems with this new understanding. It's remarkable, really remarkable. This understanding is transforming relationship therapy, marriage and family counseling, because it's teaching people the very fact of how their own minds work and where their experience comes from. And I can't begin to tell you what a difference that makes in people's relationships. By the way, I'll rewind a bit. The peers, my peers that are taking this into Fortune 100 companies, not only are they having dramatic impact in solving their biggest business problems, but one of the things that's also reported is these people's personal lives and home life are reported. Their relationships with their parents, their siblings, their significant others are dramatically improving. And it's all based on this very, very simple understanding. So I was just very fortunate where I stumbled on this. And like I said, I've been coaching for quite a while. I just happened to stumble on this. And I knew there was something to this. You could say it was like a moth being drawn to a flame. I found myself just really drawn to it. And in the beginning, it made a lot of sense to me intellectually. But I knew that the intellectual understanding wouldn't get me too far. But I was still drawn to it. And my understanding was very intellectual in the beginning. And even my sharing it with other people was very intellectual. And as Adam had alluded to, as I started working with my mentor and getting trained in this as a practitioner and as a teacher within this understanding, I realized that the way to convey this to other people is to actually live it in what we call our grounding, right? And so that's just continued to occur for me. My understanding of these principles has deepened and deepened and dropped and dropped and dropped. So the title of this webinar is Unlocking Human Potential. And the approach or the key that is within all of us, within each of you, the real key for unlocking human potential is based on this very simple understanding of three universal principles. And it's the understanding, not just the intellectual understanding, but the real understanding underneath that, that is what's having such a profound effect in people's lives. And, you know, in the past, working with coaching, clients would always show up to me with problems or issues or frustrations or challenges. And as a coach, you know, I would really lick my lips and ready to run in and save the day and help them solve their problems. The only problem with that is that it wasn't very sustainable, and even if it helped, the clients were really no better off. Yeah, maybe the outsides were a little better off. They got a little bit more of what they wanted and a little less of what they didn't want. But innately or within, the clients weren't really that much better suited to live a high-quality life, a high-performance life. And so what happened was as soon as I started sharing what I'm going to be sharing with you, people's quality of life started to jump effortlessly, and you could even say magically. And I know it sounds too good to be true for those of you that is the first time hearing this. I actually thought it was too good to be true as well. And I thought, what in the world are these, you know, what are these people drinking? You know, they've drank the Kool-Aid here, you know. But I started to hang out in this conversation. And by the way, that's how this understanding is transferred from one person to another, is what we call a transformational conversation. And so this is the beginning of this transformational conversation. And like, nobody can't get this. Nobody can't understand this unless you just get out of the conversation too soon. It's like learning how to ride a bike. Any human being can learn how to ride a bike unless you just give up too soon, unless you just say, hey, I don't want to learn. So what's and why that's available for all of us, just like anybody who wants to learn how to ride a bike, is the ability to ride a bike is already within you. And so your ability to recognize this understanding is already within you. And that's why it's accessible to everyone. It doesn't matter what people's educational background is. It doesn't matter their cultural background, diversity, orientation. It doesn't matter at all, because as human beings, we have the ability to grasp this very, very simple understanding. Okay. So I was giving a talk last night. Adam was here, and we had it's a core group of people that have been initiated or been in this conversation for amount of time. And there was a new person there. And it's always nice with a new person there, because people ask, they say, oh, great, could you help this new person get their head around what you're talking about, these three principles? And what I shared with them last night, I think is equally as important with you all here today, is that what I have to share, I could get a pen and a paper and write it down, three words, and give it to you right here, right now. But it wouldn't do you much good, and it wouldn't have much benefit, because it's not relevant at this point. So what I invited her to do, and what I invite all of you to do, is to look within yourselves right now and ask yourself, what's going on in your life right now? Is it a career challenge, a relationship challenge, a health challenge? Like what's going on for you? Like, what's bringing you to this call? What is it you'd like to leave here with? What is it would be helpful? But really kind of check in with yourselves and going, huh, how would I explain my life situation right now? What is it I'm wanting more of? What is I'm wanting less of? And I just want to invite you to check in with yourselves, like, where are you at? And then as I continue to present this information, I want you to listen to it through that relevancy, that through that window, through that doorway of your own perception, because that's what's going to make it really meaningful to you. So, for example, the woman that was here last night that was part of the discussion, she was out here following her son. Her son had just graduated from Boulder University or Colorado University, and he was moving out here. And you could tell she had a lot of emotions and a lot of feelings around her son leaving home and now getting on with his life. And she also had a 21-year-old daughter who was moving to the East Coast and kind of getting on with her life. And so she was really going through something. She was in an experience, and you could say her experience was a sense of sadness, a sense of disorientation about who is she right now in the midst of this situation that's going on for her. Okay. So that was her example of her, what's really going on for her in her life. And so I imagine each one of you has something going on for you in your life. Either you're trying to get a business started up and you're excited about it or discouraged about it, or you might be single and wondering if you're ever going to find that right person, or maybe you're in a long-term committed relationship and you're wondering, you know, does this thing have any future to it? So whatever it is, we all have something that's going on for us. Maybe it's our health, maybe it's our finances, maybe it's a friend, and that relationship is transitioning or something like that. So that's what I want to invite you all to do, all right? Now, as that becomes real for you, as you become engaged with whatever that is for you, I want you to think about what experience that you're going through. What's the experience you're having? So like the woman last night, when I asked her, what is your experience of life right now in the midst of all this? And she says, well, I feel really sad. And so I said, that's perfect. And so for each one of you, I really want to invite you to look at what your experience of life is. It might be you're really excited. I'm filled with optimism. I'm blissed out. Oh, I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling anxious. The possibilities are really infinite in terms of what is an experience for you. Now, what you might also want to do is going, what's a common experience that I'm having almost on a daily basis? It's like you could call it a habitual experience or a default experience. It's like, man, every day I wake up and I'm discouraged, or every day I'm waked up, I feel overwhelmed. So again, we're looking at, as human beings, we go through life experiencing life. And so what I'm really inviting you to do is to come in and get a pulse on your own experience around life. Okay. Now, what I want to invite you to do next is to consider, how do people explain their experience? How do people explain their experience? So, for example, last night I asked this woman who is basically in an empty nesting situation, who is feeling sad. I asked her, well, how do you explain your experience? Well, she said, well, my son's leaving and my daughter's going here, and I really feel like I'm not there for my daughter right now. And I'm single, you know, and I'm my home. And so she's starting to explain why she's feeling sad. Okay. So I want each of you to consider, how do you explain your experience, regardless of what it is? If you're feeling elated or optimistic or stressed or depressed or anxious or overwhelmed or empowered, like, how do you explain your experience moment to moment? Okay. And that's what I want to invite you to do. Now, here's what happens. Most people, like, I get people contacting me for coaching all the time, and the reason they're reaching out is that there's an experience that they're having that's prompting them to reach out. And when asked, where's your experience coming from, the tendency is to look outside of themselves to explain it. Well, I don't have enough clients right now, or my business isn't where I'd like it to be, or my bank account is a certain way, or I'm behind on my taxes, or my boyfriend just left me for my girlfriend, or my dog just died, or I just got this really big contract and I'm on top of the world, the political environment has changed and that's what's influencing, or I got some really bad news from the doctor. But what I'm pointing to is the very innocent misunderstanding human beings have around where their experience of life comes from. And what I'm going to be sharing with you in this journey that we're on together is waking us up into the fact of the matter that we have a very innocent misunderstanding of where our experience is coming from moment to moment, even though it's very compelling and it looks like it's really happening the way it's happening. Okay? So, what Adam and I have been on this journey of learning and understanding and then sharing with people is helping people move from what I call this outside-in paradigm. What do I mean by outside-in? It means that human beings are explaining their experience from the outside in, okay? Oh, I just got a raise, that's why I'm happy. Oh, I just lost a client, that's why I'm unhappy. Oh, I got on the scale and I put on 5 pounds, that's why I'm unhappy. I just found out something's going on with my cat. Okay, whatever it is. So what happens is people, the orientation for an outside-in orientation is people innocently are approaching life like they have a camera. And they're taking snapshot pictures of their life, organizing that those pictures and innocently putting two and two together, thinking that's the nature, that's what's determining their experience, okay? And that's the innocent misunderstanding that we're pointing to. And what we're inviting people to shift, this shift, is to embrace how life really works, not the false paradigm or the innocent misunderstanding that most of us are living in, okay? And so how life really works is not like a camera, but more like a movie projector. And that what's happening is my experience of life is always coming from within and being projected out into life, moment by moment, from the inside out. Okay? So that's the big shift. You could say the nature of this work that we're doing is we're helping people understand how their minds work and how human beings create their experience. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. Yet, with that understanding, people's lives transform. Okay? So, how does the mind work? Okay? Well, from the time we're born until the time we die, human beings, what we all have in common, we're subject to living in a world of thought, okay? Like, everybody who has been around the block in personal development, spirituality, philosophy, or something, anybody who's looked in the mirror for 2 seconds, you know, has come to at least an awareness that my thinking has something to do with my experience in life, okay? So, you know, therapies have discovered that people's thoughts, you know, and their memories and all these things are causing them difficulty. Their distracting thoughts are causing them difficulty. So most people and a lot of very educated people have come to the understanding that thought has something to do with the human experience. Unfortunately, most of them misunderstand the nature of thought, and so many people are innocently getting involved with thought, trying to manage thought, control thought, have better thoughts, have no thoughts, okay? So, but that's just not how the system works. How the system works is that we live in a world of thought, and the thoughts are continuing to move through us, whether we're aware of them or not. And what this teaching and this understanding is waking people up to the fact that they're living in thought. They're living, and thought is an invisible world. We're waking them up to the invisible, that which they are living in, like a fish in water. We're waking fish up to the fact that they live in water. Well, what we're doing and what I do is sharing this understanding and waking people up to the fact that they're living in a world of thought and that has implications in their life, okay? The nature that we live in thought and the sheer fact that we're living in thought has implications, okay? And then we want to start to, what we teach people is understand the nature of thought is transitory. The nature of thought is constant. The nature of thought is continuous and constant movement. Now the problem starts to show up for human beings is when they latch on to a thought. Or when they try to make a thought go away, or they have thoughts about that thought, and then thoughts about that thought, and then thoughts about that thought. And all of a sudden, people are bombarded by extraneous, contaminated thinking that is covering up their innate capacity, their innate resilience, their innate well-being, their infinite creative potential is being covered up innocently by getting involved with thought, trying to manage it, control it, have a positive affirmation, try to meditate and get rid of it, all this. And so why people start to have real benefit in their life is that they start to see that, well, all human beings have thought, and the world would just be in an infinitely better place if people realize the fact that it's just thought. It's not real. And people are afraid of their thoughts, and they're making that which is invisible and is not real, real. And if people could just see that, they wouldn't have to be so afraid of their thoughts. Now, when people start to become less and less afraid of their thoughts and not taking them so seriously, this extraneous load of thoughts, these contaminated thoughts stop dogpiling on the psyche. And as a result, without that, the human potential begins to break free. So human potential already exists within each of us. If it weren't for our innocent misunderstanding of getting involved habitually with thought, right? So that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to wake people up to that which is invisible and make it visible. And what happens is people start to, the system starts to self-correct. Because within human beings, once you see something, you can't not see it. Once you see the fact that thought is transitory, and that, here's an example, like human beings don't get stuck. Professionals don't get stuck in their business. People don't get stuck in their careers. People get stuck in their thinking. That's really helpful to understand if you're working with people in organizations, or you're working with businesses, or you have children, or whatever the case. People, human beings, don't get stuck. What gets stuck is thinking. And thinking gets stuck when we attach to it and it builds up like a dam. Okay? That's the problem. The solution is understanding the nature of thought is like a river. And if we stop getting involved in thought and we stop being busy little beavers trying to control and manage and overplan, but embrace the nature of thought, it sets us on a whole new trajectory for living in alignment with our innate well-being, our innate resilience, our infinite potential. And it's quite remarkable. People's creative juices start to flow. Their innovation starts to flow. People's well-being starts to reset. You could say the human psyche starts to reset just by the sheer fact of understanding how the system works. So what Adam and I do is we just teach people what's underneath the hood of the human psyche or the human experience. We don't tell them what to do. You could say, we tell them what's underneath the hood of the car and we teach them how to drive, but we don't tell them where to drive, how fast to drive, or any of that. That's all on you, all right? We just teach people what's underneath the hood. We teach them that there's a dashboard there. We teach them what's in there. We teach them how to, you know, the brake and the gas pedal and the implications of all that. We just teach them that. And then people take on a whole new life now that they understand how to drive a car. You see, because most people are locked up in the trunk of the car. And they're locked up in the trunk of the car because they're a victim of their moment-to-moment experience happening to them. They're locked in the back of the trunk. And so what we do is we unlock people, we get them out of the trunk, we show them what's underneath the hood, we get them behind the driver's the driver's wheel, and we set them free. And it's the most beautiful thing because within each human being, we have innate wisdom. We have innate common sense. In fact, think of it. When somebody's told you something, was that very helpful to you? Not much. You see, people don't change when they're told something. People change when they see something for themselves, within themselves. That is the catalyst for transformation. That is the catalyst for true change. And that's an inside-out understanding. It's an inside-out transformation. And that's why this approach is so radically different, is that we don't give people answers. We don't give them the 7 steps to the best career in life. We don't give them the 12 steps to launch your next business. We don't give them the 21 steps to have a great relationship. We teach them this understanding, and the byproduct is better relationships. We teach them this understanding, and all of a sudden they're inspired to act. Like, I just got off a coaching call with a client earlier this morning, and he's so lit up. He's so inspired to act. Now, I didn't tell him what to do, but he's finding the things to do for himself. They make a lot of sense, and he's inspired to do those. And it's only because this understanding is what set him free. And it's hard to explain. It's really quite remarkable. It's really quite remarkable. So I'm gonna say this. There's these 3 principles, and the only one I've talked about so far is the principle of thought. We all live in a world of thought, but there's 3 principles, and they're what we all share in common as human beings. And when we understand this, it allows me to really be kinder and cut other human beings a lot of slack. Because I can see that there's a commonality that we're all grounded in. Okay? So I'm going to share the 3 principles, and I'm going to start off this way. The first principle, and it's really, I call them principles, but they're actually facts, okay? They're truths, they're facts, they're constants within the human experience. They're a fact like gravity's a fact. Gravity doesn't happen just sometimes. It's always happening, and it's a principle. It's a fact. Now, whether you believe in that or not, or whether you remember that all the time, it doesn't matter to the principle of gravity. It's always occurring. In fact, gravity is occurring right now, and it's what's keeping your butt in your chair right now. Okay? Gravity is occurring right now, whether you're aware of it or not. So the first principle, and not necessarily in any order, these principles, because they're really all one thing, but they're 3 different aspects of it, much like H2O has 3 aspects to H2O. It's a liquid, it's a solid, and it's a gas. It can express itself in 3 ways. And it's the same thing with these principles. There's 3 principles. It's really only one thing, but it expresses itself in 3 unique ways, like H2O. The first fact, or the first principle, is the fact that you're alive. That there is an energy, there is a battery source, there's something going on to the extent that you're alive. And with that fact, with that very fact that you're alive, there's an intelligence to that. There's an intelligence to the fact that right now your heart's beating without you doing anything, your lungs are breathing in, you're being breathed in this moment, the neurons in your brains are firing, there's cells dying off each moment and regenerating without you doing anything. So the very fact that we're alive is remarkable. It's actually very remarkable, and it's often overlooked, grossly overlooked, okay? So the fact that we're alive points to something. And where that points to for me is that I'm part of something greater than just little old Greg here. Okay? The fact that I'm alive is it points to the fact that I'm connected to something greater. And the fact that you're alive points to the fact that you're part of something greater. And the fact that we're all part of that is quite remarkable. It's all one thing. Like what's giving rise to my human experience is the same thing that's giving rise to your human experience, and it's the same thing that's giving rise to every human being. That's really quite remarkable. And in the principles, we just call that universal mind. So that's the principle. The principle's pointing to the fact that there's this energy behind life underneath the human experience, underneath the hood of the vehicle of the human experience called life. Okay? And you can't see it. It's invisible. But human beings have the ability to perceive it, to realize it, to recognize that which is invisible. We have the ability to realize that. That's within our capacity, which speaks to the second principle, not in any particular order, but that ability to recognize something, that ability to be aware of something is called consciousness, universal consciousness. So consciousness is what makes things seem real to us in this special effects vehicle called our senses. Okay? Taste, touch, smell, sight. Our consciousness is what allows us to be aware of something. All right? And then I've talked a little bit about thought. And so thought is the creative potential. That's how human beings, that's how we're creating our experience moment by moment, is via thought. Okay? So remember, I asked all of you to kind of get in touch with what your experience was. Everybody remember, I said, so what is your experience? What's a reoccurring experience for you? And then how do you explain that? What are the, you know, what's this outside in misunderstanding that you're explaining yourself? And then I'm inviting you to let that go. And now we're over here, and I'm going to suggest these three principles are really the facts behind what I call the human X factor. The human X factor is just, what is the factor that explains your experience moment by moment? The X factor, human X factor. And how we explain the human experience moment by moment is these three principles of mind, consciousness, and thought. Without the energy behind life, you have no experience of happy, sad, scared, mad, overwhelmed, whatever. The cord's been pulled. The battery is dead. It's game over, right? If we pull consciousness from it, you just have thought. Thought is benign. Without consciousness, thought doesn't mean anything. Without the source of energy fueling thought, it's game over, all right? So these three principles in unison as a trinity, okay, is what gives rise to the human experience moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. Whether we're aware of the principles occurring or not, it's happening moment by moment by moment. Now, when human beings start to see the fact that their experience is coming from within them moment by moment via being self-generated, here's what starts to happen. People stop looking outside of themselves to explain their experience. If I'm sad, I stop looking outside of myself. Well, my cat is sick. That's why I'm sad. No, I come home to the fact that, oh no, I remember that there's these three principles, mind, consciousness, and thought. And what that points to is all human beings are generating their experience in the moment. I'm feeling my sadness. I'm feeling my sad thoughts in the moment. That's all that's occurring. I'm feeling my sad thoughts in the moment, and that's what's generating my experience. If I'm overwhelmed, I'm feeling my overwhelming thoughts in the moment. If I'm stressed out, my stress is I'm feeling my stressful thoughts in the moment. If I'm angry, I'm not angry at anything out there. I'm feeling angry at the thoughts in the moment. And so the more an individual sees that for themselves, they begin to self-correct. And they stop blaming and they stop complaining about life. And they become very, very empowered in the fact that they're behind the wheel and they're generating their own experience moment by moment. And people begin to have insights and their innate wisdom becomes more and more available to them. And their infinite creative potential becomes more and more available to them. And you could say they begin to create the impossible. They begin to live both an ordinary and an extraordinary life moment by moment. And they wake up, they fall asleep, and then they wake up. And they fall asleep and they wake up. And it's such a remarkable, such an enjoyable journey that that's what Adam and I are so excited to share with you. It's like these principles, when you get a taste of them, it's like going to a really great restaurant and you can't shut up about it and you want to just share it with all your friends. And so that's what I've dedicated my life to, is sharing these principles with people, but sharing them beyond an intellectual understanding until they drop into a human psyche and they're able to live it on their own. And it has a transformative essence in and of itself. So I've talked quite a bit here. I've been on a bit of a roll here. I'd like to open it up and hear from you guys. What made sense about what I said? What bothers you? What questions do you have? So I'd like to turn it over to you and see who has questions, comments, what's making sense to you about this. Who would like to ask? If so, just unmute yourself and chime on in.
So how do you implement that in your life?
How do I implement it in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. So that's a really common question, Stephanie, is like, I think what you're asking is, what do I do? Right? Well, what's the practice? Okay. Now, what's really unique about this is that it's based on understanding and understanding alone. Okay. You could say all we're doing is describing how things work. And the deeper you realize that how things work, the rest takes care of itself. I know it sounds really strange. I couldn't stand this when I first got introduced to this. They said, oh, there's nothing to do. There's no doing. And that really bothered me. It really bothered me. And it bothers a lot of people in the beginning. It's like, okay, well, what do I do? This makes sense logically. How do I get it going? How do I get it going? Well, you just stay in this conversation. Okay, number one. Number two, I have a couple books that I often recommend clients read, you know, to kind of get this foundation underneath them. I mean, I've had clients just read a book alone and move from being suicidal to buying a house and moving and starting a whole new life. I mean, it's just crazy stuff. So it's not about doing anything. It's about hanging out in this conversation and starting to see the fact that, oh, I've got some thinking about doing things. Okay. Like, oh, wow. I see that my thinking is, in order to make progress, in order to perform in life, the more I do actually is the determining factor. Now, when people wake up to that, they go, oh, wow, I've just been a doer all my life because I thought doing was the thing to do. Okay? But then people wake up to going, oh my gosh, that doing thinking has been dragging me under the bus most of my life. And people realize that going, oh, I'm just having doing thinking, or I'm having restless thinking, or I'm having impatient thinking, or I don't like my experience right now is really what they're saying. I don't like my experience and I want out. Okay? But if they just realize their experience is coming from their thinking in the moment, okay, they're free. They begin to be free. So there's no doing other than waking up to how these principles are occurring in your life. Okay? Now, you could say there is one doing. I will give you one doing. Okay? And the one doing is that whenever I'm not feeling love or in a really good place, I know that I'm looking in the wrong direction. You could say I'm over-involved in the world of form. Okay? I'm over-involved in the world, the visible world, okay? The world of stuff, okay? Now, the principles, I don't know if you've caught on yet, but that's the invisible world, okay? The non-visible, the non-physical. And so if there's something for you to do, it's to have the courage to look within and explore and hang out in that non-visible, invisible world. And the more you do and the more willing you are, you start to go, oh, I know what Greg and Adam are talking about. This, the food is really good here. But it's like there's nothing there. You don't have anything other than a good feeling. But it's kind of like, you know, when your battery, you've been using the phone, your cell phone all day, and the battery's about to go dead. That's a really good metaphor of I've gotten too involved in the form, too involved in the stuff of life. I'm about ready to run out of charge. And so the doingness is just make a 180 and come back within yourself and look within and just come face to face with mind, consciousness, and thought, the invisible world of mind, consciousness, and thought, and just look in that direction and hang out there. And don't try to figure anything out. And you'll be inspired. And you'll have access to your creative. But I don't want you to think about it like you're doing this as a means to an end. Okay, it's not a strategy. It's not a doing. It's more coming home to your innate well-being, your infinite potential. Like you're coming home to the source of everything. And now what happens is you go back out into the world, and this is what happens. This is people go, nothing's changed out there, but everything's changed. Well, it's because you've changed. And what happens is when we come home to this, we realize that our innate well-being, our innate resilience, our infinite potential as human beings has always been there, has never left. If it wasn't for our innocent misunderstanding and our extraneous thoughts, that's burying them. So the nature of this work is helping clients get out from underneath all their extraneous thoughts that they're bombarded with, that they're innocently making life harder for themselves than they believe. Now, what's really fascinating is helping people realize the fact that all of their problems are self-generated via thought. Every human possible problem underneath the sun, we start to see and realize, is self-generated via our thoughts. And the solution is always the same. There is no human problem that cannot be solved with understanding how the human experience actually works. That's it. It's that simple. Okay? So thank you for asking the question. I know we're kind of coming up on the hour, but I'll give a quick plug here. For those of you that are interested, those of you that this makes sense to, or anybody listening to the replay, I offer a 3-day coaching immersion that brings this alive for people. And Adam has participated, and I do it about once every 30 to 90 days. The next one that's coming up is May 25th, 26th, and 27th. It's from 9 to 5. I work with a small group of people here in my home, anywhere from 2 to 6 people. It's really reasonable for the 3 days working with me privately. It's only $497. And I work with you from about 9 to 5 each day, helping bring this understanding alive for people. So that's the little bit of commercial here at the end. All right. So I'd like to hear from each of you that have been on the call. What made sense to you and what impact did you hear? And I'd like to hear from everyone. What did you get? What are you taking from the call? So Cameron, if it's okay with you, I'd like to start with you. You unmute yourself. And
yeah, absolutely. A lot of what you said really resonated with me. About a year and a half ago, I decided to do one-on-one therapy just for myself. I was an extremely outside thinker. I let my thoughts completely bog me down all the time, and was never, you know, I had that outside influence always controlling my thoughts, how I was feeling, how I would react to things. And so I was just really out of touch with myself and what made me who I am. So, you know, it was a decision I made, and it has drastically changed my life, personally, professionally, how I relate to other people, setting boundaries for myself, and really, you know, starting to create happiness and in all facets of my life, starting from in here. So, I'm fully on board with a lot of what you
said. Preaching to the choir here, huh?
Yeah, really.
That's great.
So, you know, that was something that I had thought about for years, and, you know, but then something good or positive would happen and, oh, okay, you know, it's fine. And then of course, you know, it would turn out I'd fall into same patterns or have that same thing happen. So for me, it really was kind of one-on-one therapy, having somebody be able to help me question myself and kind of change the way I thought about a lot of things. So
yeah, great.
For me, that was really, I think, probably the most transformative, at least to this point. So
great. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for that. And thank you for being on the call. And I plan on having more of these and you know, coming at these principles as inside out understanding through different topics and different themes and things like that. So if you can make some of them in the future, I'd love to have you on the calls. So thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I know Adam had put in the notes here, but I'll go ahead and say it here on the recording, is I highly recommend you reading a book to get yourself grounded in this understanding. And one of the books, the first books I recommend, is called The Inside Out Revolution by Michael Neal. And you can see it there. Michael's posted it in the chat section. So again, it's called The Inside Out Revolution by Michael Neal. I highly recommend that book to get an understanding around this. Stephanie, how about you? What was most helpful for you or impactful for you in this conversation?
Well, I had never heard about those principles, so that's interesting, and that totally makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's a bit as if we were inside a vehicle, as you say, and we are the master of it, but we just don't realize.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Great.
It's interesting.
Good. Well, it's good to put a face to the conversation, to your name, and I really appreciate you being on the call. And I know you're here locally in San Diego, right?
Yes.
Yeah, great, great. Well, hopefully we'll connect again in the near future.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Adam, how about you? What did you get out of today? What did you hear?
Lots of things. I've been on this path with Greg for a few months now, and I attended his coaching immersion program, a month ago? Mm-hmm. I think it was about a month ago. And, recently it started to click for me. So when I'm hearing Greg talk about the benefits, it's no longer, something, out there to maybe someday, experience. Rather, it's something that I'm experiencing right now. The unlimited creative potential, an understanding of why I might be feeling bad in certain moments, and some insights around what to do about it or what not to do about it. So for me, listening to Greg, teach the same things I've been hearing for a while, it's just, it's interesting to hear it objectively with, some people that are new to it on the call. So just a fresh perspective, I'd say.
Yeah. And that's what happens for all of us, is our understanding. We hear the same thing over and over again, and then it deepens for us. We go, gosh, wow. Like when I work with my teachers and my mentors, I'm like, holy smokes. And the depth is infinite. It's really remarkable. So anyways, thank you, Adam. Thank you for all your support and all the love and everything you've done to support today's event. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Sure, happy to do it.
I have Saran here as well, and she's not on video, but she's putting some things in the comments in terms of what she got out. And she says she really likes when it was stated that when we don't feel good or have good energy, it means that we're looking in the wrong direction. And so I'll just I'll highlight that as well, is that when we start to understand that as human beings, we come out of the box equipped with this amazing built-in design for success and well-being. And what people don't realize is that our moods and our feelings are part of that design. It's part of the dashboard. And the dashboard is saying, hey, you're going too fast. A curve is coming. Our moods and our feelings are a dashboard that are letting us know that our thoughts are misguided or we're moving in the wrong direction, or it's time to get back on the charger, so to speak. So thank you for that comment, Saran. And she also made a comment that if you change the way you think, everything will change. And so I want to speak to that just for a second, is that your thoughts are always changing. You don't have to change them. Your thoughts are like the weather. If you don't like your current thinking, don't worry. There's some new thought right behind it. And so the innocent misunderstanding with a lot of people who have kind of caught on to thought is they think that they're responsible for changing it. And what's different about the principles is you could say universal mind is going to feed you new thoughts, because that's what's the built-in design of the system. When I think I have to come up with better thought, that's just my ego, okay? So I don't, for me personally, and where I'm at in this understanding, I'm not here trying to change my thinking. I know my thinking's always changing, and I understand that I have free will of which thinking I give attention to or not, all right? So I just choose almost to ignore most of the thought in my life. Like, I'm not even interested in my thinking. You could say I'm interested in what's underneath that, which is my well-being and my infinite creative potential. That's what interests me. I realize that thought is like this roller coaster of life with high moods and high thoughts and low thoughts. And that's like the weather. I'm less interested in the weather, and I'm more excited about being alive. Okay. Do you say Alyssa?
It's Alicia.
Alicia, I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. It's a hard one. Thank you so much. And thank you to Adam, my Colgate friend, for introducing me to you and sharing this webinar. I'm a career counselor at a law school. And so I guess, and my background is law as well. I went to law school. I'm an attorney. And so what I was kind of thinking throughout this, and this is all a new concept for me, is just that it's so emphasized in law school, and I think in college too, you know, thinking is just, it's omnipresent, you know, you have to do it, you have to, in law school, kind of change the way that you think, but there's always this kind of focus on thinking, and so I think personally I've perhaps gotten into a place where I'm just, I think that if I think it, I almost have to think through everything in order to do anything. And so I think I've gotten to a place where I overthink a lot, or perhaps I shouldn't be taking the approach of thinking to make a change or to make a decision. And so this is useful, and, you know, I think it'll be hard for me to kind of change my approach, but I'm working on it. And I appreciate it. And I'm planning to read that book. I think it'll really help me to start looking at the world differently.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate your openness and your comments. I think are really really point to an early introduction, and the more you follow it, the deeper your understanding, and it'll make more and more sense to you. Like for me, Elsa, I thought that high performance had to do with stronger focus, more thinking, really staying on my game. And what I realized is that's the opposite of high performance. You could say that the more thinking I have, the more myopic I become, and I don't see opportunities. The innovation, creativity, problem solving, it actually goes out the window with more thinking and really tightening up my bandwidth. With this understanding, we learn to relax, and we realize more thinking is not better. In fact, the highest level of operating, anybody who's in the top of their field, they consistently say, when my head is clear, I'm at my very best. I'm in a flow state. I'm in a peak performance state. That's across the board in just about anything, you know? So it's probably why, you know, the legal industry, the law industry people, there's such a high rate of addictions, you know, of stress, of burnout, of people's health's going to crap and putting on tons of weight. It's because innocently they don't see the implications of having that much thought is actually having on the system. Okay. But the system trying to give them feedback. Okay. Now what happens is, when we see the kindness in the design, the system is always at work. And what I mean by that is the system will always try to quiet the mind, no matter what. And so some people, without this understanding, that the principles like gravity are still at work. So they'll drink a fifth of Jack Daniels to quiet their mind because they don't understand the nature of thought. But that's the innate wisdom of the system, wanting to give that person time to create space within their thinking. But it's just a really, it's not a very healthy way of working the system, but it is that the system kind of coming to the rescue, if you will. And that's like when people start to see that, they go, oh, wow, that's really fascinating. So anyways, thank you all for being on the call with me. I'll make sure that each one of you gets a copy of the recording here, and I'll keep you posted on future events if you're interested in keeping this conversation alive. And that being said, have an amazing day. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.